This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yes. You can, but don't let me forget what I was about to say about something, but go ahead. Yes, let me write it down.
I was just going to ask, I was reading about, like, the St. John's transfers.
Yeah.
And one of the transfers is, like, eligible for the NBA draft, but is still thinking about coming back to play for St. John's.
Well, yeah, I mean, we see that with guys where they don't hire an agent or whatever that rule was, but now they can have agents because the whole nil thing, yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess that's a thing you could do now. Kind of skirt the system.
Man, it is the wild, wild west, isn't it?
Yeah. And by the way, Eddie, why didn't you tell me this was a sex shop? This Toys of Eros. Nobody was. I'm sitting here. I'm confused. Why is this a thing? And everybody knows it's a sex shop. They're not telling me it's a sex shop. So we had this caller call up. It was like, oh, man, you know, you got this. And the mom owns a shop up in P-Town. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Jordan Hudson's mom owns a shop. And then Eddie's like, well, it's a notorious free spirit. I'm like, well, what do you mean by all this? What is it, a coffee shop? Are you going there to get trinkets? No, it's a sex shop.
Oh, look at this.
So that's why it's another layer of this thing. I'm like, why does anybody care?
Did they have
that she owns a shop?
Do they have vajankles?
I'm sure.
They have a...
What do they have?
Well, they got the Mustang.
What's the Mustang?
That's the Mustang.
And she's the manager, not the owner, I believe.
Oh, she manages. Okay. All right. Yeah. Now I'm seeing what's going on.
Here. Okay.
Yeah, I see what's going on here now. All right.
What's going on?
Well, there's full-blown tween on this website.
Oh, there you go.
Full frontal male nudity.
It's like where you guys went before the first live show.
Right, to get our, or my leather pants for that day.
They got the pros of a... Of a certain ring.
We also have what's up with nipple clamps.
You can
click on that.
Maybe we get Al involved in this.
No. And here's the history of the vibrator. They got a lot of cool articles on here.
Well, so they also have the Museum of Sex.
They got that. Yeah. So that's why I was so confused. Unless he said it and I missed it, I was like, who cares that she works in a shop in Provincetown, Massachusetts.
Al, it says keep your package pumped up when the water when the weather heats up.
Oh, summer penis.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
Yeah. I think this was known. Well, it's obviously out there, so we might have even talked about it. I don't know if it's one of you guys was out.
Ugh, they have a return policy. I'd be like, you ain't returning anything.
Yeah, you better
buy it, you keep it.
You better boil that thing before you say it back. Oh, the Mustang. $136 for that Mustang.
Right. For a car?
Wow. No. It's not. No. It's not the Ford Mustang. It's a.
So she's the manager.
Yeah. Right. All right. See, now this. There's just a lot of questions I have, I guess. I mean, if her mom is managing this place and then she doesn't want to answer how the two of them met. And this is a sex thing. This does add another layer of the potential prostitute thing. I'm sorry. It does. I don't know if she is, but it adds another layer. And I'm not the one who came up with that theory, but it's interesting. It's interesting. It was this whole story about how they met on a plane, and Tony DiCoppoli was like, hey, where'd you guys meet? We're not talking about that. Shut it down. So they shut it down. By the way, Stephen Waldron, CBS Sports, where are we on Tony DiCoppoli this morning?
The request is in.
Have you gotten
he's not on the show this morning either. I think he's on the road still.
Oh, he's on the road?
Yeah, he's not in studio.
Is he doing anything on the show today?
It looked like he was up at the Karen Reed trial.
Oh, okay. Do you think she's innocent?
I don't know much about it, but you intrigued me with the documentary. It's on my list to watch.
Okay. All right, very good. Well, Steven, the request is in. He's at the Karen Reed trial. He could pop on. We could promote this thing. We'll promote his Karen Reed coverage.
Yeah.
I could ask him questions about that.
Sure.
I mean, how in demand is Tony DiCopoli to begin with? I think that he'd get excited about this.
I would think so, too.
You know what I'm saying, Steven? Like, who could actually want to talk to him other than us this morning?
Not Jordan Hudson.
All right, very good.
That's for sure.
Yeah, there goes Steven Waldron. Have a good day, Steven, because I know we're not going to hear from you later because there's no way you're going to get this done. He just won't. He doesn't have it in him to really push for things like this, you know?
Yeah.
It's like that Carl Anthony Towns thing, even though he played those great last couple games. It's like, it's just that one little thing that's missing. What is that?
Well, it hasn't been missing the last couple games.
No, it hasn't. Which is great.
Whatever that little last thing is, he found it, and he found it quickly, and he asserted himself the last two games.
Yes, he did. And if they're going to have any chance against the Boston Celtics, he has to play like that the entire series. And that's the biggest difference. You know, Jalen Brunson gives everybody a scare every single game, and you can't, like, sit him for this game because if you win, then you'll have a little bit of a break anyway. But, like, the last thing I need to see is him hobbling off the court again, because in your entire season, you feel like goes right into the toilet.
Well, we went through this last year.
Well, yeah, of course. That's
why. We
don't
want to go through it again.
100%.
But the problem, well, it's not a problem. It's a good thing. I mean, these games are uber competitive, and this is like real man basketball.
Real man basketball.
And I think that the Detroit Pistons understand that this is the way that they have to play. And they've had opportunities to win these games at the end. They just haven't been able to make a shot.
That's right.
And, you know, and in game one, we saw what happened where they couldn't hold on to the ball for like 10 minutes. And the Knicks went on a 21-0 run. So, but this they got to finish this thing tonight because they need the break. You know, Boston's most likely going to win tonight. And, you know, then it's going to set up a second round matchup, and both have played the same amount of games. And by the way, I was watching a little bit of the Magic and Boston, and the Magic are playing kind of like
the Pistons.
The Pistons are playing. I mean, there's a lot of hard fouling going on. There's a lot of like pushing and shoving going on. So I mean, the Knicks have got to be ready to go tonight. You know,
yeah.
And I'm sure the fans are going to be crazed, and the Garden's going to be electric. And you know what I want to say? What I would love to see? I'd love to see a walkover game, kind of like what Cleveland did to Miami last night.
That'd be great. You know, and the two worst games that they played in this series were at home, the Knicks. The two best games they played, even though both of them ended up close, were in Detroit. So I want to see them dominate, because if you're going to have a shot at the Celtics, you need a lot of things to go right. But winning all your home games is something that you're going to have to do. You're not going to have home court advantage. If you can win every one of the games at home, that's a huge factor. And they hadn't played all that well against the Pistons in games one and two at the Garden. So, yeah, a nice little walkover game, rocking chair spot.
Well, I'd like to have it, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think there's just too much pride on the Pistons. I mean, the
fighting for their life.
They're fighting for their lives, and they're playing like it. And they've been playing like it all four games thus far.
They're also pissed off about the way the game ended.
Exactly. Plus the officiating, you know, nonsense going back and forth. Although I mean, trying to be unbiased, like I was saying yesterday, I feel like that it's been 60-40 in favor of the Pistons, the officiating. Maybe not that much, but I feel like it's been in favor of the Pistons. But, I, you know, it's like you said, you can't complain about it. You just got to go out and you got to play and you got to make plays.
Yeah, so I'm just taking a look at the odds tonight to see what FanDuel Sportsbook thinks about it. Yeah, I mean, they're a heavy favorite tonight. I mean, not as heavy of a favorite as the Celtics, 11.5 points and minus 650, but 5.5 points, minus 220. People think that this series is over with that type of line, that they'll be able to take care of business at home. I mean, the place has got to be going nuts. It's got to send, this is, you know what, this is a message sending type of night. This is what this is.
This is what this is?
Sending a message to the rest of the league tonight.
Okay. Oh, to the rest of the league.
Oh, yeah.
Let me just tell you, the rest of the league is not paying attention. The rest of the league's worried about themselves.
No, I understand, but, you know, the rest of the people that are watching and evaluating the league. Like, you know, you see what the Cleveland Cavaliers did?
Yes.
I mean, they just hounded Miami into submission to the point that they quit.
Yeah, but Miami traded their best player. Miami didn't belong here. This whole play-in nonsense is a bunch of crap. You know that, and I know that.
Fine, but they still did it, didn't they? You know, Celtics, same thing.
The play-in tournament, all the, those games.
I want them to whoop the Pistons so bad tonight that everybody's like, wow, you know, maybe there is a chance. Maybe there is a chance the Knicks can beat the Celtics. That's, you know, instead of like a buzzer beater, you know, sort of a game that comes down to the end. You're like, man, you know, even though they won in five, you know, there's a lot of close games against the Pistons. They're going to get whooped against the Celtics. No, I want it to be 30-2 in the first quarter like the Cavs had.
Righty. Martin in Manasquan. Marty, what's happening?
Good morning, guys. I just want to say, I don't think Steven's a needle mover. He's just not a needle mover.
Yeah, Stephen Waldron you're talking about, CBS Sports. You don't believe he moves the needle?
No, he could get that guy on the phone if he was a needle mover, but he's not a needle mover.
You know what? I agree. I mean, whatever the opposite of a needle mover is, Steven has been that. Now, it doesn't mean he's a bad guy. It doesn't mean that he's bad at what he does. He's just not someone who, you know, goes the extra mile. You know, he's not electric.
That's true.
You know, he's more of like a wet noodle spot.
I'll tell you one thing, Jordan Hudson. Needle mover.
She's definitely a needle mover.
She's a needle mover.
Yeah.
Without question.
Big time needle mover.
Whether you like it or not, moving the needle.
Yeah. I mean, I got Steven to get a little pep in his step and go get Akshay Batia that day at Travelers, go down there to the putting green. He pulled him up there, and it was great. That was good. I haven't done anything since, though, Steven. You know?
Yeah.
That was June of last year. And he sent you some bagels and lox.
He did a good job.
I thought that was okay.
I thought that was great. I thought it was very thoughtful of him.
But outside of that, it's been a little quiet. He's been taking his Fridays, you know? Yeah. We don't ask a lot from him. No, it really is. We really don't ask a lot. We're asking something here. Tony DiCopoli. I want to hear the behind the scenes. Jordan Hudson. I mean, that's something, you know, I shouldn't even have to ask Steven about that. That should be something that pops in his mind already. Be like, wow, you know, they're talking about that. You know, yesterday we talked about it. They're talking about that.
I got you, Jay Wright, too.
You got me. You got us, Jay Wright.
Got us, Jay Wright. Yep. When was that?
When the Knicks got Bridges, and you were up my A gap the whole morning.
Okay. All right. Very good. So you've done something since the Travelers. One thing. We know that wasn't on a Friday because you were actually here to do it. So,
yes.
All right. So you know, but this is what I need Steven to be thinking of. We're talking about it yesterday. And be like, you know, wow, you know, that might be a good thing—a little cross promotion spot.
You would
think
so.
These guys are talking about it.
The thing about it is, like, Steven's been with us for 10+ years.
Yeah, yeah, two guests
two.
In 10 years. So it could be three today, which is better
like
than two.
A third of a guest each year.
So I mean, this one should be the easiest one. Talking about a professional golfer, then you talk about Jay Wright. This one should be the easiest one. I mean, Tony should be jumping.
Trying, don't worry.
He should be like, whoa. He should be like, let's go to Tony DiCopoli up in...
he could be in court right now.
Boston. And be like, whoa, no. Actually, don't. I got Boomer and Gio here. This is way more important than what I'm about to do. I got to talk to these guys about Jordan Hudson.
You know, a little cross promotion is never a bad thing.
Is he in the courtroom? Do you know that?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, man, now I really want to talk to him.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah, you know, what was the impact that we had when we were in Vegas? Okay, and we went on what's her name show? Drew Barrymore show.
Yeah.
How was that cross promotion?
Oh, it was great.
That worked out great, didn't it?
It was so awesome, we never got invited back.
Well, there was no other big thing to do.
No, I understand. Why. I understand. Pull Steven down. I hear like the background noise. It drives me crazy. But it was great. Here we go. This is where we are.
Yeah. See, that's the type of cross promotion you're talking about.
Right. I don't know. Did Steven have anything to do with this? I don't think so. This was above Steven.
This is way above Steven.
This is a Tyler Hale situation. That's what I think. Was it? Or even above that?
I think it was above that, too.
Yeah. Look at it, behind the scenes. Look at this. A little behind the scenes. Drew's brew. They got some water in there. And then Ross Matthews, my new buddy. Me and him were talking in the breaks about all sorts of stuff. Worked for Jay Leno there for a while. So I remember him and Jay, and he had the whole, that's how I saw him first, and he's got a good gig there. I'm assuming he's still with Drew, right?
I would think so.
Stephen Waldron, CBS Sports. Is Ross Matthews still work with Drew Barrymore?
Yes, he's still there.
Okay, all right, good. Good, very good. Yeah, look at us celebrities.
Yes.
Getting golf carted up to the Drew Barrymore show.
Yeah. All right, Steven. I'm counting on you, man. You got 45 minutes until 9 o'clock when we requested Tony DiCopoli. I guess tomorrow would be not good because we are reacting to a Knicks game. It has to be like a today thing.
It would be a today thing, yes.
It's a today thing. So I don't want to hear, oh, he can come on tomorrow at 7. Sorry.
No.
Window closed. Door closed. It's shut. It's over.
And plus, it's a story for today.
It's a today story.
Yeah.
And also, I got all sorts of Karen Reed questions, too. So there was a woman. There was a witness for the prosecution
that screwed up her testimony,
who admitted that she lied in the grand jury testimony. I mean, things are coming up, Karen Reed, man. I'm telling you. Now, I don't know if she did it or not, but one thing that I'm rooting for is there's not enough evidence to convict her. There's just not. So you can't do it. And she heard her defense team, they've been poking holes in this thing from the beginning.
Yeah, you know, the defense team has been uber aggressive as well, like they should be.
Damn right.
When you're defending somebody, especially if you believe that they didn't do it, and they're going after these witnesses. They came loaded for bear, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't believe that she did it, but I can't completely rule it out from all the things that I saw in the documentary. Yeah,
but you have to be able to, in order to convict.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's why after all the evidence and watching that first trial, I could not believe that there were more than one person in that jury room who thought beyond a reasonable doubt that she did it. I was like, that's impossible. Absolutely impossible. Because there were so many things, unanswered questions from the prosecution that you just have to dislike her and say, she did it, I want her to go to jail. That's my opinion.
But I'm also assuming her husband's family thinks that she did it.
Oh, of course.
So they're pushing from that end.
Yeah.
So you got to remember that.
Yep. Definitely. It's a very interesting one, though, man. And the trials, retrial is happening as we speak. And Tony DiCopoli's in the courtroom and not on Boomer and Gio. And Stephen Waldron's going to do something about that from 9 to 10.
Pull him out of there.
Pull him right out of there. That's right. Pull him right out of there.
Maybe we can get the judge to do like a little bit of, you know how they do a little bit of a pause?
Yeah, or they can get recess. A note. You know, what's that? With like the, can I approach the bench with a note?
Can I approach the bench with a note?
Yeah.
Boomer and Gio want Tony DiCopoli.
Yeah. Is there a Tony DiCopoli in here? Yeah, Tony, can
we'll
you
take
go
a
outside?
Recess. Take a 15
take a recess.
Recess.
Go call Al Dukes and Stephen Waldron at the Boomer and Gio show. they're requesting you.
It's the Boomer and Gio podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco back. I'm excited to hear this. Derek Carr and is giving a sermon audio this hour that he'll get to at some point. I know he's got all the sports for us. What's going on, Jerry?
Well, we are brought to you by Roto-Rooter Plumbing and Water Cleanup. Roto-Rooter, that's the name, and away go troubles down the drain. Sure, I will get to that literally in just a moment. First, we'll run through the baseball quickly, and then we do have a lot on the football, as you can imagine. The Mets getting out of Washington with a split of a wraparound four-game series.
First pitch swing. McNeil drives the ball in the air to right. Cruz going back. He turns and looks, and it's gone. Jeff McNeil's first home run of the year into the seats and right above that high wall, and the Mets had taken a 3-0 lead.
And that was really just the beginning of an onslaught, essentially. Keith Radd on Mets Odyssey Radio. McNeil puts him up 3. They win by 14. 19-5 was the final score as they really just exploded offensively in the late innings. Brandon Nimmo drove in 9 runs, had 2 homers, including a grand slam. But first, with McNeil back, Carlos Mendoza was asked if he is starting to look like the hitter that they saw late in 24.
Yes, 100%. You know, driving the ball with authority. You know, when you see him pulling the ball like that and going deep with ease, that's a good sign. He's just not trying to flip balls the other way. And that's what we saw last year in the second half. So
of the season when he was back and healthy. As for Brandon Nimmo, we mentioned not only the 2 home runs and the 9 RBIs, but 4 hits on the day. He said he kind of felt like a big day was coming.
It was great to have today come through with runners in scoring position a few times. You know, I've been hitting the ball harder lately, and that's usually a good sign. There's smoke, there's fire usually. So just trying to stay with it and keep trusting it would come along.
And once again, the Mets getting good starting pitching as Griffin Canning goes 5 shutout innings. They are now 20-9 on the season. Mets and Diamondbacks tonight at Citi Field. David Peterson, the start on Mets Odyssey Radio 880 a.m. at 7:10 p.m. As for the Yankees, they opened up a series with the Orioles, not far from Washington, the Mets and Yankees. The Orioles win 4-3 along the way. No, the Yankees were down. They got within one, and in the ninth, it was Felix Bautista on to face none other than Aaron Judge.
Here's the 1-2 from Bautista to Judge. The pitch swung on and missed, struck him out. Two down.
And this place is going wild as if they're about to win the World Series. This has just been a terrible start for Baltimore, and that strikeout, this place is, everybody is jumping up and down. Wow.
Yeah, as he got the save, closed it out, 4-3, the final 11th win of the season for Baltimore, just 11-17 on the year, the Yankees slipping down to 17-12. Ryan O'Hearn with a three-run homer in the third off of losing pitcher Will Warren. The Yankees tonight will have Carlos Rodon on the mound. Coverage on the Fan at 6:35. Also of note, the Dodgers beat the Marlins 7-6-10 on Tommy Edmonds' game-winning RBI single, and they did place Tyler Glasnow on the injured list alongside Blake Snell, who's on the injured list. They both have shoulder inflammation. All right, a couple of things here from basketball before we move on to the football. You've got Knicks Pistons tonight. Now, I'm going to play this Charles Barkley clip. We all agree that the way the game was officiated the other day, we would have let it go too at the end. But I thought what Barkley said here in the middle of this clip, talking about that missed foul call on Josh Hart and the repercussions that could come down the pike.
I hate that I have to say this, but I have to say this.
God darn it, that's Derek Carr. Here it is. Here's Barkley.
A text I got from an NBA official says they can't miss that call. The official was in the wrong place. And he said, quote, that was bad. And they're going to get something's going to happen. They always do that stuff behind closed doors. But you cannot miss that call, plain and simple.
Now, do we remember of officials getting suspended for missed calls? Because he started to say it and stopped.
I don't. I remember the closest thing to that was that terrible missed call in the NFL in the championship game.
Saints game.
Rams, yeah. Where I think that guy sort of was like, hey, get out of here quietly. We never saw it.
Yeah.
But I don't. I mean, that doesn't mean it hasn't happened, but I...
And then you had the leagues, you know, saying they got the thing wrong with the Laker game and Doncic with the trip and all that stuff. So a lot of this has been going on. Anyhow, the Knicks will try to close things out tonight in Game 5 at Madison Square Garden, and you will have a celebration on the streets if, in fact, they advance tonight like we do all expect. The Warriors beat the Rockets 109-106. Jimmy Butler at 27. Golden State up 3-1. A little bit of a surprise there because Houston's had a great season. And the Cavaliers, as expected, sweep the Heat in 4. I don't think we expected them to win by 55, but they win 138-83 last night down in Miami, and that be that. A couple of things from football before we get to Derek Carr. Adam Schein on Sirius XM, one of so many to chime in on the Shedeur Sanders draft pick by the Browns. Now, in this specific case, he is just baffled as to why the Browns chose him after already taking a quarterback.
I mean, did Paul DePodesta's computer spit this one out? Like kind of what happened with Carson Wentz years ago? They didn't want to draft a fat catcher like he did in Moneyball? I mean, was this the homeless man who told Jimmy Haslam, take Johnny Manziel, save the city? Is that what transpired?
So a lot of confusion, as you can imagine. And a lot of people chiming in on this whole thing in Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that there's a chance that he's on a different team when the season starts.
Sure, I really.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those guys got to go.
There's a chance he could be starting on opening weekend.
That too. Yeah. I mean, I think that that's less of a chance, but...
I don't know, man. Just go in there and compete your ass off, keep your head down, be a good teammate, and see if you can make it. I mean, that's what Tom Brady did. That's what Brock Purdy did. You know, injuries happen, especially to older quarterbacks. You never know when the opportunity is going to present itself. The one thing I will say, this kid, Dylan Gabriel, he could really throw the ball. I mean, he's got a really good arm.
Yeah, well, I mean, you love the lefties. That's what it comes down to. I mean, you overrate these lefties like you wouldn't believe.
Did I overrate Michael Penix?
I don't know yet.
We don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Dylan Gabriel, I see a little bit of Steve Young.
What, because he's lefty?
He's a little bit shorter. He moves well.
Yeah.
And he's highly accurate.
You know what it reminds me a little bit of? Is Boomer Esiason. No. Lefty quarterback. Maybe a little shorter.
Shorter. A lot shorter.
But he can move. Good with the play action.
Yeah.
Leadership qualities.
Maybe.
You know? He's a little more mature than Boomer was when he came out.
Kind of looks like Tua a little bit.
Yeah, a little like Tua, who's also a lefty.
He's also a lefty.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit like, yeah, yeah. Like that.
Yeah. Whatever.
Kenny Stabler. Man. Yeah, another one. You can really see it in there.
I think more Mark Brunell myself.
Okay, fair.
No one's going to say Michael Vick.
No, 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 no.
Definitely not.
Definitely
only
not.
One Michael Vick.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Okay. Saints quarterback Derek Carr was speaking at a church in Las Vegas. I don't know why. I don't know if he does this often. I don't know if he still lives there, having been a Raider back in, I don't know.
I know he's a religious guy, and he still lives there.
He is a religious guy, yes. Yeah. Here he was, and maybe this is part of the sermon in terms of, well, all the outside noise. He's addressing people that doubt his health.
I hate that I have to say this, but I have to say this. Yes, I have a shoulder injury, despite what ESPN says, and what some lady on a podcast might think. Okay, I have an MRI report to prove it. The team knows about it. We've been in constant communication. There's nothing wrong. We're figuring it out, and we're going to go forward with that. Is that okay?
So he's using football, I guess, to get to his point.
Who's the lady on the podcast?
Is that Diana Rossini? Maybe. I mean, she seems to be the most, I would think, one of the most popular football ladies in podcasts, right?
Lady on a podcast.
I would think.
Despite what some lady on a podcast says.
Here he is, annoyed about all the misinformation.
I've been dealing with this, and I've been dealing with people lying about me. I've been dealing with them saying this and that. And I'm like, Lord, why do I have to continue to deal with this nonsense? Like, what is going on? And I say that to preface with, you never know what someone's really going through.
That is true. And here is where he starts to talk about society really being nothing more than hypocrites and liars.
Oh, hey,
well, that's a bar.
That's my line.
Back in church now.
That's my line, but yeah. He is talking about society being a bunch of critics.
Why do we continually try to attack people? And I would say attack people that are trying to do things maybe the right way. Why do we always have to have an opinion? Why do we always... Twitter and Instagram has ruined things for some people. Because now all these people think that they have voices that have to be heard. It's like, some people's voices don't need to be heard right now.
My man. this is a guy who's made $195 million in his career and is upset that Diana Rossini said that he might have a hurt shoulder on a podcast so he can do a sermon on how you don't really know what people are going through.
If it's Diana Rossini.
And is complaining to God.
Yeah, Lord, why do I have to deal with all this Twitter and Instagram? I said, Lord, how do you think get me away from TikTok.
How do you think that would have went over as a Jet quarterback?
Oh, my God. He'd be roasted on a spit.
I mean, he went to the right place. I mean, you know, when he was a free agent and he selected the Saints, it hasn't gone well for him there, but he certainly selected the right place.
And lastly, I like this one. Our opinions are pointless.
Not one of our opinions in here matters. Did you know that? The only opinion that matters is that text right there. It is the Word of God. And everything must bow at that.
None of these opinions matter that I just brought up to you that I'm annoyed about and have to get off my chest. They don't matter at all. Like the guy on ESPN that said something or Diana Rossini about my shoulder. No, they don't matter at all. But I bring them up here with a microphone in my hand in a giant church. But they don't get to me. They don't bother me. Lord. Hello.
Well, what's really important is this 2,000-year-old work of fiction.
Here comes Eddie.
Oh, hey, here we go.
Scazzeri from three.
Oh, Jesus.
Very quick, Chris and Hal. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, Gio, would you be more surprised if Shedeur Sanders started this year or if CeeLo got hired full-time?
Yeah, definitely if CeeLo got hired full-time. That's been going on for a long time now. Like Shedeur, there were some people who, like Mel Kiper, had rated him higher. So I think
that
definitely
is not right.
The CeeLo thing would be shocking.
CeeLo gone to church in front of a congregation and talked about this
yet? I don't know,
yet?
But maybe Sunday he will.
Maybe he will. He'll be with me on Sunday.
How does Andrew Bogus have a full-time job?
Five-borough bike tour.
That's this Sunday?
That's this coming Sunday.
Wow.
Good luck. I'm sure they're all working out, getting ready for it.
I don't know that he is.
Yes, I'm saying.
To be honest. Now, he does do some biking, and I believe he jogs. So yes. I think he feels like he's in shape, but
He may pull a zoo and pull off about a mile in.
No, at the end of the day, he raised money. He shows up all
That's
good.
That's 100%.
He, yes. He was cocky, though, the other day. Yeah. If you heard him, I did 10 miles, no problem, the other day. So I think I'll be fine. So I was like, oh, okay.
The problem isn't the biking of 10 miles. It's the up and down nature of the biking, I would think, right?
Yeah, well, it's the 59th Street Bridge and it's the Verrazano Bridge.
Right.
The other thing that's underrated about this, I've said this many times, is when you pick up speed going downhill when you're not used to that. If you're not someone who's on these bikes, especially how light of a bike that I was on, the one, the Cannondale, which is an awesome bike, and you start flying like that down the thing, you're like,
is that the bike Pat Boyle's getting?
It is, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but he's, I mean, that guy's like a real athlete, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but if he's not biking often and all of a sudden he's doing 40 miles an hour down the Verrazano Bridge.
Oh, this is one of the most embarrassing videos of my life.
Why is that?
Well, it's 3, 2, 1. Ah, that's a little missed time. That's why, right there. That guy flying by me. That's why it's embarrassing. But I made it. I didn't stop.
No, nope.
Didn't stop.
Good job. That more embarrassing or having a woman probably around 70 years old.
Oh, that happened too.
You when a jog is, it happened to me.
Oh, that's right.
In that mini triathlon.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, we took a picture here. That's right. Yeah,
oh, that's right. We had the mini triathlon out in Islip.
Yes. In the Great South Bay.
Yes.
Yeah. That was, I was the last one out of the water.
Mary's supposed to swim a half a mile.
Yeah.
And Craig swam like an eighth
he
of a
cheated.
Mile. Yeah, he swam
he
about
cut
an
off all
of
the
mile.
Buoys to beat me.
Yes.
And I was, I think, the last one out. But worse than that was the 70-year-old woman who finished ahead of me. It was so pathetic. Oh, man. The Eagles.
Oh, look at us. There we go. Oh, no, it's Sal Graziano. I thought that was you, boy.
Not
look
quite.
At us. Here we go.
See, so now you're just cruising.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's going downhill now.
Yep.
Here is President Trump getting to know one Saquon Barkley.
Superstar running back who I met yesterday, and I want to tell you he's a handsome guy, but I wouldn't want to tackle him. Saquon Barkley, where's Saquon?
And then talked about getting to know him a little bit.
He's good. I got to know him a little bit. I offered him a ride on Air Force One because I was coming down. And usually they say, no, no, I don't think so. He said, I'll take it, sir. And he loved it. We loved being together. He's a great young guy.
And then...
You know who embraced it than anybody else? The black population. It's incredible. Black people walking around with my mugshot. You know, they do shirts.
All right. Well, here he was injecting his opinion into the rules of the NFL when he was talking about the Super Bowl itself.
I was there. I watched in person. I was there along with Taylor Swift. How did that work out? How did that one work out? The Eagles scored a touchdown on their signature play, the tush push. You know what that is? Or is some, I hope they keep that play, Coach. I don't know.
Jesus. It was actually funny. They were about... Maybe the ceremony was 20 minutes or so, and then I guess they went into the Oval Office. I didn't see any of that, but he certainly had fun with them. He couldn't get over the size of Lane Johnson.
Yes. Yeah.
He stopped in the middle. He goes, that is a large man.
And he has a cat named Vagina.
It's too bad Mekhi Becton wasn't there.
Yeah, that would have been good, too. Another large man. Tonight in Raleigh, the Devils play the Hurricanes. Carolina up 3-1 as they look for the closeout. The Panthers won last night. They're up 3-1 on the Lightning, and the Stars beat the Avalanche to go up 3-2 in that series.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
I just saw another headline as the deadline is approaching for Tony DiCopoli to join us. It's all on Stephen Waldron's shoulders. Stephen Waldron, CBS Sports. Alarmed by CBS disaster, Bill Belichick insiders say girlfriend Jordan Hudson is a runaway train. They are talking to him about her, but very gently, because they know how deep in he is.
Talking
very gently
about her to him?
Yeah, like, how would you do that? You'd be like, hey, Bill, like,
yeah,
a second.
I ain't saying anything to Bill Belichick.
Hey, man, this whole thing with this girl, huh? What are we thinking,
like
huh?
Like, who's supposedly talking to him?
How would you do that, Al? How would you approach Bill Belichick if you were, like, a UNC bigwig and you had concerns about this?
I'd say, hey, Bill, Jordan, boy, she's great. But I'm wondering if some of the, not you, but some of the players might get distracted by her beauty. Maybe we keep her home.
Keep her home.
It's got to be something like that. Like, all kidding aside, like, if they're gently talking about it, like.
Yeah, but who's gently talking about it?
People
there's
within.
Nobody, there's nobody around Bill Belichick that's gently talking to him.
That's what, this is what the article says.
I would think that they'd be more intimidated by him than anything else.
She saw an opening and she took it. The insider added on how Hudson, 24, has inserted herself into every aspect of the 73-year-old boyfriend's life and career. The consensus among people around Belichick is that the relationship is alarming and Hudson is a runaway train. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, gently talk about it.
And what publication is this from?
It's from the New York Post.
Oh, it is. Okay.
What do you think it was?
I don't know. I didn't know where you were reading it from.
Smut.com or something?
I have no idea where you were getting it. Maybe it was Tar Heel Insider. I don't know.
Tar Heel Insider. No, it was not. No, New York Post. Insiders.
By the way, did you see Cam Scadaboo's message to Giant fans?
I mean, this guy, without stepping on the field, is one of the most popular players on the team.
Needle mover.
Needle mover is right, man.
100%. And I'm telling you, people are jacked up about this kid. So, you know, when you watch his highlights, you think that he's big. You think like he's Brandon Jacobs big.
Yeah.
He's not.
You know, it reminds me a little bit of James Conner.
Yes, okay. So he's 5'11", about 220.
Yeah.
And he's basically a rolling bowling ball is what he is. And the beauty about him is that he's a multi-dimensional player. Like, he has really, his football IQ is off the charts.
Yeah, and he wants to run people over. You know, he can juke you, but he likes hitting you better. Yeah, I mean, he's just got that. This is when, you know, people say, does he love football? Does he love ball?
This is the guy.
This is the guy.
This is the guy. And this is the guy that you could snap the ball to. You could throw the ball to. He could be on special teams. I mean, he could be a returner if you wanted him to be.
Yeah, I mean, as far as like, you know, I know that a lot of Giants fans did like Jackson Dart. But as far as like two draft picks that Giant fans love through and through, obviously Abdul Carter and then this guy.
Yeah, but the kid that they got from Toledo, that Darius Alexander, the defensive tackle, he's another stud, man. I would think they did a good job when you think about the personality traits of some of their players when you read about them.
Yeah.
And you watch them, even the kid from Purdue that Marcus, was it Milbo? He was he's a tackle, probably end up playing guard for the Giants, I would think. You watch some of his highlights, he's throwing people to the ground.
Yeah.
You know, I think it sounds like, maybe we should ask Carson Shane, but I think it sounds like Joe Shane and Brian Daboll were like, we are going to get the most competitive group of guys that we can possibly get and infuse this attitude into this team. Yeah. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, well, let's hope.
And I think that Jackson Dart kind of fits that, because remember that the whole thing with John Gruden and Jackson, when they were talking about him running with the football. And how he would take hits.
Yeah, but, I mean, Gruden didn't like that. He's like, listen, you got to change the way you play. It's careless. He goes, crazy.
I'm not saying that he liked it, but what I'm saying to you is that falls in line with, I think, these people that they're drafting here.
Yeah, I got
like, you.
You
have Abdul Carter, who's like Spider-Man on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You have Cam Scadaboo, who's running over people. You have this guard and this defensive tackle that are just supposedly like high-end energy type guys, and then you throw Scadaboo in there?
Throw Scadaboo in there.
So it sounds to me like they made a concerted effort to really get competitive people, which is what you got to love that if you're a Giant fan.
Yes. Guys that are opposite of some of the, you know, Kadarius Toney picks that we saw in the past. Oh, let's go to Phil, who's in the Bronx. What's going on, Phil? Oh, Phil!
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, man?
What's happening, Phil?
Not much, guys. Good morning. Quick thing, I have not heard. The thought occurred to me right off the bat with Shador sliding and then the Browns taking the two quarterbacks. Quarterback is the most valuable commodity on the team, right? So they took Gabriel. I just think as he dropped, I guess they just saw, I'm going to assume they just saw the value. And the Browns front office has been a little bit forward thinking for once in their whole franchise career. Coming from a Jets fan, that's saying a lot. But it seems to me that if they're in a no-lose situation, if one of them turns out good, fine. If they both turn out good, they can flip one. He has value. They can get a lot more than a fifth-round pick for him. Or if it's the opposite way around, it's Gabriel. I think it's very forward-thinking on that part. And for a fifth-round pick at that value, I think it may turn out. I don't know, but it could turn out to be a genius move. You don't ever know how quarterbacks are until they get into the league.
And it also could blow up in their faces, just like every other quarterback they seem to have had in their history.
Which is true. I mean, I have no problem with them taking him in the fifth round. And I said it yesterday. It's, you know, we joke around, but a lot of GMs say the same thing. Got to have some shots on goal when it comes to that position. And the more guys you could bring in, the better. And hoping that one of them sticks. Sure, it's fine. But, you know, I mean, it could also, you're also now having a media circus around a fifth-round draft choice.
You know, and this is a team that has gone through media circuses with Johnny Manziel, Deshaun Watson.
Baker Mayfield.
I mean, like, they just keep going. And by the way, they had their starter, and his name was Baker Mayfield, and they could have kept him.
Yep, but for whatever reason, him doing commercials and stuff bothered them, which I don't understand.
And when you think about what it took to sign and trade for Deshaun Watson, they bribed him to come to Cleveland. Deshaun wanted to go either to New Orleans or Atlanta. I think he's from Atlanta. I think Deshaun's from Atlanta. So I think that would have been perfect for him. But because Cleveland came swooping in and saying, we're going to give you all of this draft capital, and we're going to give him a $230 million guaranteed deal, then, you know, he's got to come and play in Cleveland. And, you know, I don't think his heart was ever in Cleveland. I really don't. And, you know, it's unfortunate that he got hurt. But given all of the things that he had gone through and had not played for like a year and a half, he never, ever got back to being the Deshaun Watson he was when he was one of the most electrifying players in football. And that is a real error on the part of the Cleveland Browns.